water purifier is a 30-year-old industry, right? Why do you have to reverse engineer anything? I would say it was a treasure hunt. Each question which we got was actually a direction which we had to take. We just don't put everything and anything, right, into the water purifier, right? Because we know the input, we know the output. Now it's just, what is the function which I need to make, right? There were so many situations where we wanted to shut down. So the thought was, why can't you donate your liters, what you have, to the people who don't have water?
Hello and welcome to the Indian Dream Podcast. And today I have an exciting episode where we're going to be talking about water and water purifiers. Before I tell you more about the guest today, let's look at some numbers like we usually do. Every year, close to 38 million people or 4 crore people suffer from waterborne diseases like diarrhea, typhoid, and other viral infections. It is estimated that it costs the country about $600 million or roughly 5,000 crore rupees just because of all these waterborne diseases. So access to clean water is clearly a large problem that needs to be solved for. As it stands today, the only scalable and environmentally friendly way to access clean water is through water purifiers. The other ways like packaged drinking water or tanker mafias are either environmentally unfriendly or not affordable to majority of the Indians. Talking about water purifiers, India's first water purifier was launched in 1984, and in 40 years, we've had many companies launch many different products with innovations like RO, UV, UF, and frankly, many other terms that a common man doesn't really understand. It's a product that's marketed like any other appliance where it seems like more features are better for you. But did you know more features are not really better for you? Depending on the water quality that you get at your homes, you need to purify it accordingly. If you overtreat it, you actually make the water worse for you. Therefore, I find it very funny that in a country like India, where water quality changes every 4 kilometers, you have companies marketing and selling the same water purifier across the country. Technically speaking, you need a different water purifier depending on the different regions. So, to address all these problems, Vijender and Manan started Drink Prime back in 2016. Imagine a water purifier that's IoT enabled, connected to your phone, that tells you exactly the kind of water that you're consuming and adapts the purification techniques based on the water that needs to be filtered. That's exactly what Drink Prime does. They've had a very, very interesting journey with a lot of twists and turns. They've done a lot of innovation on product distribution and marketing. And today they're trusted by more than 2 lakh households in 3 cities. Backed by leading investors like Alteria Capital, Sequoia Surge and Omidyar Network, they are scaling very fast and they are scaling profitably. Tune into this episode not just to know more about how they build a hardware business in India, but also to know more about the water that you're consuming. And before we jump onto the episode, you know the drill. You need to subscribe, you need to like, you need to put a comment on the kind of people that you want on the podcast, and we'll try and get them. Without further ado, let's jump onto the episode. Vijay, thank you so much for joining us on the Indian Dream Podcast. I'll tell you a brief story about Drink Prime. I first heard about Drink Prime when I was trying to research about which water purifier to buy. I'm based out of Indore, so you guys weren't present here. But that also got me curious about this entire market because there's just so many different terminologies that are used. And as a layman, you have no idea what kind of water purifier to buy. And that's when I had heard about Drink Prime. And then I think sometime last year, when we were talking about interesting, you know, opportunities on this podcast, we spoke about Drink Prime. That's when I'd done research. So very glad to have this conversation with you to understand more about Drink Prime, the thesis, and, you know, how you've grown over the last few years. I want to start at, you know, back in 2016, you're working as a, you know, hardcore engineer. That's where your focus is. What brought you to the water purifier market? You had no connection to it per se, right?
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much, Sid, for having me here. I mean, it's a pleasure to have a nice conversation with you. So, yeah, coming to the point. I am a computer science researcher. So I was there. I passed out from IISc Bangalore. And then I was working in my core technology. I was part of AMD processors company working on the next generation processors, which the world needs, right? So that's what was the thing. But I would say it was basically a hobby kind of a project where we started off with, but it ended up being such a big company, which is Drink Prime, right? So one of the things, my life was almost set, like it was good because I was working for a good company. I was paid well and everything was sorted, right? But ironically, if you see, one of the major problems which I had personally was drinking water. Because the thing is, we were not having access to safe drinking water for my personal home, right, which I was staying. So there were only two options for me. Either first option was kind of go and buy a water can, which is available in every mom and pop store, where I'm sure we don't have much more trust on that bottled water that is issues on there. The second side of it is we have to buy a water purifier. There are only two ways of getting pure water, right? But for me, when I started my career, I was not clear how many days I will be there in Bangalore. So I did not wanted to go and commit and buying a water purifier, because wherever I shift, I have to take the water purifier and go, right? So that's what my thing, and that's where I started off with bottled water. That's what it was comfortable. But again, for the obvious reasons of quality, I kind of started flickering and getting scared that what is the water I'm drinking. That's when the whole idea was came to my mind that why can't there is no service which gives a water purifier from a capex to an opex model, right? Where I don't have to pay the upfront investment for the capex, because I don't know, I'm not clear how many days I'll be there. So that's why I'm clear that I don't want to do an investment. But in a way, I want good water, right? So that's where the whole ideology came in, where let's give, there are a lot of people like me. They were, at least in my analysis, they were close to 4 crore households in the 20 cities which we are present, right? Who wanted a substitute to bottled water, because they were using bottled water, because they were not ready to buy a water purifier. So that's where the idea was, why can't we give this water purifier on a subscription to those 4 crore households who are using bottled water, so that we can solve that, right? That was the core thesis, and it all started with my personal problem. It's not someone else, it's mine.
That's actually a very interesting point, because I think I've lived in 6-7 cities over the last 10 years, and most of the places I've ended up buying a water purifier and then selling it in the same city, because as you said, it makes no sense to carry it to another city and install it there, right? So I identify with the problem. But in order to solve it, did you have to really build a new water purifier? Because, you know, you could try and build a model with the existing water purifiers where you give that out on subscription, you buy it upfront, you do the rentals, right? That's one way you could potentially think about it. But what led you to sort of, you know, building a completely new water purifier, IoT-led, AI-led? Tell me a little bit about that sort of, you know, that journey.
Sure, Sid. So as you rightly said, I mean, being an engineer and being a person with logic, right, it makes absolute sense to just buy it from the market and give it on a rent to the customer, right? So definitely, and also to be frank, we started doing the same thing when we are early days, right? We thought that, see, water purifier is a 30-year-old industry, right? Why do you have to reverse engineer anything? Let's give it and increase the access to a water purifier by giving in on subscription. That's the thought. But to enable the subscription also, we had to build a little more of IoT technology, because we need to make sure that the purifier kind of checks the water quality, dispenses the right amount of water, how much a customer subscribed to. So that was a small innovation. We have done it in the things, and we have put it, and we also launched 2,000 water purifiers like that. But then later, what we realized is, the first thing is what we thought was, can't I associate with a brand, connect with a brand, and then automatically we go to the market together, right? But with that thought process, we approached a couple of brands. But one of the things what came out very well, very strong to us was, brands was not interested to even change their model. They just because they kind of sell their products with their dealers and distributors, everything was sorted for them, right? It's just that they want to do a 20% growth. They don't care whether water is, people are getting good water or not. They just want to do their top lines properly. They have a good channel where they can sell their water purifiers, and there is no need of innovation itself, right? So that's what was the whole context. And when we come and talk something like this subscription, brands are saying that, are you crazy? Why do we want to disturb our whole things, right? So that was one reason. The second, that's when it came to the point that we had to build our water purifier. But the second important reason, after doing the 2,000 purifiers by buying it from the market and doing it, what we realized is, we also, as an IoT, right, we started putting sensors with our IoT subscription, IoT bot, which I've told, right, to enable the subscription. With that, we also put in sensors about water quality. We put in a couple of sensors in the IoT solution where it starts measuring the input water quality and also the output water quality, right? once we installed these 2000 devices, we started getting different patterns of water qualities, right? There were two many insights which was happening. One of the core insights which came to us was every 3 kilometers, water quality was changing. I mean, that was a really shocker to us because no one even thought about that, ki the water quality kept changing, right? The second input, what we came to the point was every season in the same area, the water quality was changing. So then that was kind of really shocking to us, saying that, ki, what is happening in this market, right? I mean, why is this happening? Why is the water quality changing so much, right? So then we decoded back. Basically, we ran the company completely like, I would say it was a treasure hunt. Each question which we got was actually a direction which we had to take. From the inception of the company from 2016, I would say it was always a treasure hunt. The treasure hunt started with my personal problem. But as in when we went into detail, there was another question which came. Then it took us to another route. It was just like a treasure hunt. Like, for example, if there were hints given to us and then we were taking that direction, right? So that was the company. That the problem we faced was that the water quality was changing. Now, when we went back, we saw that the source water was not constant because in every city, in every part of India, right, there is not a single source of water. There are multiple sources of water, right? Like some people have tanker water. They use tanker water for their apartment. Some people use borewell water. Some people use municipality water, which they get from the government, right? So the sources were different, right? So that's where the water quality was changing area by area. The second reason is the sources also changed depending on the seasons. Like, for example, in summer season, municipality water is not too much available. So people buy tankers. So once they buy tankers, the water of that area is already changed. So this was pattern was happening, right? But when we saw the traditional water purifiers, they were so dumb in the sense like it was a one-size-fits-all solution, right? Whether you're living in Delhi, whether you're living in Mumbai or Chennai or wherever in the country, the production happens somewhere in Mumbai or Pune. From there, the device comes to across India and get installed, right? Without even understanding what is your water quality of your area. So that led to the point that giving a one-size-fits-all solution, is it the right solution? That's when we got into water science. We started developing the water science. It took like 2.5 to 3 years to build the product. And then with the help of water science and what is the right purification for each of the areas, then we came to the solution that we have to give a customized solution for each of the areas which we presented. And we started tailoring the water purifier. We started customizing the water purifier and give. As of now, all the water purifiers are tailored to each of your water requirements and water input quality. And then we give this on a subscription. That's how we ended up building the whole water purifier from scratch.
That's very interesting. That's an interesting insight about water quality changing, not just by region, but also by season, right? Does that also mean that your water purifiers and how the purification happens changes by season? Because it is a subscription business. So I'm assuming that's part of the service.
Yes. So basically that's what, right? It's an IoT device, right? So we know what is happening in the water quality. There are some ways inside the purifier which automatically changes the purification flow. There are some things. And then if it is beyond that capability, then we send a technician to kind of change the purification, right? So we take care of that. We take care of that and we customize it according to your input water quality of that season.
Interesting. If you go on, you know, any electronic store or Amazon, wherever you go, there are, and if you search for water purifier, one, the price ranges are, you know, like it's a large price range. It starts at 10,000, goes up to 30 to 35,000, right? And then there are so many terminologies that are used, UV, copper, RO, that as a person who's trying to buy a water purifier, I have no idea what I need to be buying, right? It actually takes a good, if you want to research, it actually takes 2 hours of research just to figure out what kind of water purifier you want to buy. Is that problem solved then by Drink Prime? Because it automatically, you sort of customize it per region, per season automatically. Is that part of the problem that's being solved?
Yes, Sid, that's what is one of the claims. But let me tell you why this happened, right? Why are there so many options? And
I'd love to understand the market landscape because I'm assuming this industry has been like that for decades now, right? So why is it like that? And what's changing now?
Yeah. So I would say in this industry, there were definitely product innovations. Like, for example, reverse osmosis came, there were UV came and all, right? So they were literally, there was not much marketing innovation done in this whole industry, right? Because they use whatever the marketing worked for other appliances, right? Like, for example, AC or TV or fridge or whatever, right? How the marketing where strategies were there for the appliances industry, right? That's what was the same strategy used for even water purifiers, right? Because in their mind, the people thought, I mean, the companies thought that water purifier is also appliance. So let me use all the logics of appliances and then put that industry, right? So in appliances, what happens? A CRT TV at this cost. Then you have an LED TV at this cost. Then you have a 55-inch of at this cost. Then you have a 57-inch of at this cost, right? So that's how it is. Even in water purifier, a UV purifier is this much. Then an RO purifier is this much. Then an RO plus UV is this much. Then RO plus UV plus copper is this much, right? So in the whole marketing message, right, it is just the strategy of any appliance. There's no innovation, right? So, and also if you see, no one even talks about your input water quality. So they were always talking about the output water, talking in the sense, right? Like, this will give you this copper water, whether this will give that, right? But never, no one even talked about what is your input, right? Whether do you need really a copper? Whether your input water may already have copper, right? If your input water is already copper, why do you need to give a copper this thing, right? So if you look at the lens of input water, then the whole game changes suddenly. So that's what is the reason why these many varieties came in, right? And I would say we are the first company who are actually trying to do what is justice to the water purifier industry by talking the water purifier terms, right? Not talking about the appliance terms or these things, right? So we are talking water. Because people are buying water purifiers for not for water purifiers. They are buying for water. Water is the output, not water purifier.
That actually makes sense. And I was just checking the website and there's just one SKU. Technically, there's a lot of, you know, customization that happens for, you know, depending on the different region. But it makes sense to just have one SKU, right? Because everything inside that, my end output needs to be pure water for my household. It doesn't matter if it can solve a problem in Bombay or Chennai. I want pure water in my household in Indore, right? And it needs to be customized accordingly. That makes complete sense. I want to double down, two things that I want to double down, but we are on the topic of marketing, so we're going to go down there. But I also want to talk about the hardware innovation, right? Because this seems like an interesting challenge in itself on all the customization. But going down the route of marketing, this is traditionally a market where a celebrity would come on a television and get Arohi Lagana, right? Like that's a cult ad that everybody has gone through. Is the segment that you're targeting different? First of all, I think that's one of the questions. Second, what kind of marketing strategies have you used to actually take the name of Drink Prime out there, right? Because the reason why I ask this is because when I speak to my parents or other people, there are a few brands that come up on water purifier le rahe ho, toh, you know, take a trusted brand. Now that trust is actually very important in a product like water purifier because, you know, you're talking about water. How did you go about building that trust? I know you're present in three cities, but if you can talk about how you approach marketing in general and how you approach trust building, that'll be very interesting.
So let me start off with what happened, because I always am a fan of what happened and why are we where we are, right? So that's very important, right? So when all the brands started, right, like when there are big celebrities coming, right, that point of time the problem was people were not even using a water purifier. So the problem there, it was awareness, right? See, people were thinking that whatever I drink water is good, right? I mean, water, because if you don't see anything in water, they used to think that it is good. I mean, if you don't see dust or mud, right? Because microbiological things are not visible. So at that point of time, the trust building process was always with celebrities, because that point of time, we had to build the trust, push that, right? Because people even didn't understand that there is a need for a water purifier. There was not even a thought that, no, my water is good, right? Why do I need a water purifier? That was the scenario, I would say, 20, 30 years back, right? So that's what all the brands did their parts. How do I increase the awareness of the thing? And one of the easy ways of doing the awareness was having a celebrity endorsed and then pushing it. Now, fast forward to the current markets, right? See, now we are a generation who, I mean, to be frank, we know that, okay, there's a celebrity coming, right? What is our thought is, celebrity has made good money. I mean, they would have, this brand would have given a big money to the celebrity, and celebrity is talking. Because our generation is basically more logical generation, right? We want more logic and data to be convinced about anything, right? We are not at a point of where when someone comes and says that you take it, we'll say, dude, let me go and check the reviews. That is the generation we are, right? We don't just fall off. For us, the celebrity is just that, okay, it's a big brand. I mean, if he's able to afford Amitabh Bachchan or someone, it means that it's a big brand. So they are, so there is one level of trust factor, right? But our trust is only happens with data and then the reviews. So now the way you have to market, start marketing things has to change, because the kind of people are different, right? Now that is where for us, right? I mean, when I double click on Drink Prime journey, one of the things we started doing is, let's put facts and figures up front. Let's not talk about what we said before, the old generation used to say that your water is very good. Now I am saying that how good is my water? So just put a number to the fact, put reviews to the fact, put everything onto the table, right? Like, for example, currently if you see the buying decisions are data driven. They're never, I mean, obviously there is an emotional connect to the brand and all, agree to that. But the point is that barrier will only come. First, you complete your base barrier, which is data. Once you do your research, once you are read the reviews, once you have enough data in it, then you will go to the emotional attachment, whether should I buy that or not, right? But the first barrier for us is data and reviews, right? So that's what is the strategy we took. That was a clear case of building the trust for us, right? We showed that. So we actually cracked the trust with one of the very, very innovative ways saying that, right? We started giving our water purifiers as a 7-day risk-free trial. We said that take our water purifier for 7 days for free of cost. If you like the water, then you start paying the subscription, right? Otherwise, no questions asked, we will take back our water purifier. And then we started showing the data that this is how, see, your water purifier is working. This is your input water quality. This is your output water quality. See, it is really doing something. The water purifier is acting on your input water and reducing the impurities, and this is the quality of output water, right? So that data was directly showing the trust for the consumer, right? And then our confidence of giving a risk-free trial to the consumer was also helped us a lot, right? So that was a growth hack, or I would say the confidence we had on a product where we were able to easily build trust.
Interesting. So now that I think about it, there's obviously product innovation. The entire product is different. There's marketing innovation, but there's also the go-to-market innovation, which is traditionally the way this is sold, dealers and, you know, suppliers. And then there's a third party who takes care of the servicing. And there's a lot of murky things that happens in the servicing industry where the filters are not really changed, but you're sort of billed for the entire amount. There are a lot of, you know, stories out there about that. But by doing all of this, you've given a completely different experience to how people consume water through a water purifier. That's very interesting to know. Coming back to the point of hardware innovation, 2016, you know, you don't come from this industry. You realize that the problem is actually the purifier itself, not just subscription. We need to go out and build a water purifier. Building anything in the hardware industry comes with its own set of challenges, right? Tell us about that journey. How long did it take to actually perfect the hardware? How many iterations did it take? And how did you fund that? Did you raise capital back then? Because this is an endeavor that requires a decent amount of capital.
So, I mean, to start off with, said it was not a small journey for us. It was a really, really painful journey. And I would say during 2016 to 2020, there were so many situations where we wanted to shut down. Because the point is, what happens is, I mean, coming from a traditional background, I mean, not like having too much backup from your, right? And also, because what we have built ourselves, right? Whatever Manas is my co-founder, Manas and me built, right? We were all stood on our legs, right? I mean, we never had any support from anyone, right? So obviously, we were very true to our problem statement, which was giving clean drinking water to everyone, right? That was a problem statement, right? But building hardware was a very, very, very difficult kind of situation to be in, right? See, for me, being a computer science researcher, I know for sure I can build or I can spend some more time and learn more skills of AI, ML or whatever, and then start sitting and coding and build things, right? But it was very, very difficult because the first thing is I'm not from a hardware background. The second thing is hardware takes real money. It is not overrun. See, for example, software, I just go to AWS, I get a free instance and I start coding and then I start deploying and making things, right? But hardware is not make that, right? You need to really have something in the way, basically, to fund it. So what happened is, first thing, Manas and me have put in our life earnings completely into the company, where we went, I mean, it helped us to from 2016 to 2017. And maybe I may be digressing the topic, but it is the general our journey, right? So we have given up everything, right? I mean, whatever savings, even there was a point that we have broken our FDs and also PF. That is the money is what we have broken, put in everything. And then we, after that is over, then we went to our parents and then saw that can we lend some money from them, right? I mean, we took their help a little bit. The third important aspect, what happened is seeing our struggle, right? I mean, we went to the struggle of up, completely down, not even ups, right? I completely down. There were a lot of many good people around us, right? I mean, who were trying to help us, who were seeing us struggle and saw our fight to give water, right? They started coming together, right? So it was not like a fund they wanted to invest, but they started spending more time with us. Be it some R&D guys where they said that don't pay me for the R&D. I will help you build a whole water purifier. I will give you per week, like 10 hours to you. Just don't, because they like our product. They like our passion. They liked everything. They just said that, okay, we will figure out how do you pay me at a later point of time. But right now, let's solve your problem. They invested their teams. They have put in people out of their pocket and then started helping us, right, to build the product. Then that's where later, as we scaled, right, we got some good dealers and distributors of water purifier industry who were not brands, right, who really saw that this is going to be the future of the water purifier. They started investing on the water purifiers, right? I mean, they said, I will give you water purifiers with whatever you want. You put your IoT and you go to the market, right? And let's do a revenue share. They started speaking about the outcomes. They said that input, we both will take care. In the outcome, you give me as a revenue share to which you are earning from the market. You don't have to pay any upfront investment, right? So like that, I would say to sell 2000 water purifiers in 2016 to 2020, we took 4 years technically to sell just 2000 water purifiers. That's how the journey was a little difficult. But the good part about this, Manas and me, we come with a special power, which is resilience. We don't give up. So there were many situations where in the night we decided that, dude, it's done. I mean, I can't, right? But somehow in the next day, we were in a thought process that let's try for another week. Let's try for another week, right? That's how we pulled. And then all the 4 years, when we came back in 2020, we did it finally. And then we got big, notable tier one investors across globe to come and invest us, right? So that's how it was a difficult journey.
I can completely imagine. Kudos to, you know, how far you've come. The last number I saw was there are 1 lakh active subscribers, so 1 lakh water purifiers that have been deployed. I'm sure the number is much more. So from, you know, spending 4 years to get 2,000 to getting 2 lakh in the last, you know, few years, last couple of years, getting 1 lakh in the last couple of years and EBITDA positive, that's been some journey. Vijay, that's been, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that so candidly about all the struggles that you went through. I want to double down now on the cost structure of this industry, right? There's traditionally, this was a one-time cost that people incurred anywhere between 10 to 25, 30,000, depending on what they needed. Appliance like marketing, and I'm sure a lot of rich folks actually ended up buying things that they did not need, probably hurt them more than it helped them because they got, you know, UV and RO and UF and MF and, you know, all of those terms that are there, but you probably don't need them. And then on top of that, there's a, you know, yearly maintenance charge of, let's say, 4,000 or 5,000 in terms of filtration that comes in. How does that change with a subscription model? How does the cost structure change with the subscription model? And whatever you can share on your end in the entire value chain, where does the cost generally get distributed in the traditional industry? And how did that change with you guys?
Right. So to answer this question, Sid, let me first change your glasses first, right? The way how you look things, right? Because that will completely change the perspective of the answer which I want to give, right? When you come to the point that you are not selling water purifiers, come to the point that you are selling water. Now, when you keep that lens of selling a water, right, then you can start seeing what we have done in the whole industry, right? So,
makes sense.
First, let me just summarize the industry, how it worked traditionally, because the whole concept about the industry was how many dabbas I can sell.
Yeah.
That was the whole idea, right? So now...
Just like fridge, fans, whatever, how many units can I sell?
Yes. How many units, how many boxes can I sell was the thought process, basically, when you see the units, right? Now, go back to the manufacturing part of it, right? So what was that? The kind of input to the manufacturer was also saying that make as many boxes as possible so that I can give those boxes to my next dealer. That guy will go to the next distributor. Then that guy goes to the retailer, and that's how the whole supply chain happens, right? Again, same traditional appliance strategy where I make a TV, I sell it to the dealer and distributor, and that's how it goes, right? So the same thing was followed, right? So if you see, though the product was manufactured at 5,000, 6,000 rupees, by the time the product came to the customer, it was somewhere around 15,000, because everyone has to survive, right? In the whole supply chain, there is a dealer who has to survive. There's a distributor, there's a retailer, there is like all these channels like e-com. Everyone has to kind of fit in their cost, right? So that's where the whole traditional industry, and this is true for any appliance. That's how the appliance industry is there, right? So coming to the point, the idea was to sell purifiers. Now, coming to our point, of think about that, how many water liters I've sold. When you look at that lens, right, then this all doesn't come in. So now when you want to talk about the water quality changing, and when you're talking about the giving the right water, right, the dealers and distributors are not going to support, because as a company, you need to have connection to the customer. Because unless you have a connection to the customer and you don't know the problems of a customer, right? So you don't know how to solve the problem, because your proposition is what, not water purifier. My proposition is giving water, right? So to give water, I need to know what is the situation of the input water in that customer place. So that's where our company need to be a direct-to-consumer product. So we cannot build a dealer-distributor network, right? We had to go direct-to-consumers, where we started talking to the consumers via Facebook, getting leads from them, understanding where do they stay, what is their water quality, and all these things, right? And then once we understand the water quality, we were able to backtrack, saying that now the water is this, the output water should be this. Now what should I do? This is the input, this is the output. Now understand, let me put, what is the process to get there? So when you see water as a lens, right, this is the impurities in water. This is the output water where the good water should be there. Now, what should I build it in the middle? So that's point of time when you look at that, right? So we started building water purifier to each and every consumer. Now, when we started building the things, right, we will put only what is needed. We just don't put everything and anything, right, into the water purifier, right? Because we know the input, we know the output. Now it's just, what is the function which I need to make, right? I talk more on maths and engineering because I'm an engineer. So what is the function I need to build, right? So that's where the idea is, we need to build the water purifier, right? So the cost structures, if you see, it is not the cost structures of whatever the traditional market is, because the traditional market, since they don't even know where their water purifier is going, they have to build a water purifier which is working from Kashmir to Kanyakumari.
Which also means that it doesn't work for 50% of those people, right? Because you have a one-size-fit-all approach there.
Yes, it's a one-size-fit-all approach. And if it is not, right, the other point is, it is overly featured.
Oh, for sure.
The other problem is, see, water is a way that you cannot over-purify also, nor you can under-purify. So yeah. One of the, again, at this point, the over-purification is also much more bigger problems, right? See, what happens...
I actually want you to double down on the over-purification problem, because somebody told me this, I think one of the technicians told me this, that if you over purify water, you actually take out all the good parts of the water, all the minerals that are there. Is that true? Tell me a little bit about over purification.
See, the water, right? I mean, if you see, though it is not a major source of minerals and all, I mean, I'll put it, minerals and all come from food, minerals and vitamins and all come from food. Water is definitely a good thing, right? But point is, when nothing is there in water, right? What happens is, water is equivalent to pure H2O, which is actually not drinking water. It is called solvay. Like in the research labs, right? Like, for example, in your maybe in your early BTech or something, you would be in the chemical labs, right? There is a H2O. They don't call it as water, right? So when that is a pure H2O, it doesn't have anything, right? When you drink that solvent, I'm not calling it as water. It is called solvent. When you drink that solvent, right, body doesn't absorb that water, because intestines are the things which kind of absorb the water. It doesn't get absorbed. The intestines don't absorb water because what intestines need something in the water to be absorbed, right? So though you are drinking 3 to 4 liters of water, the water is actually not hydrating your body, because you are taking it, it is just going out. The body is not observing. The cells of the intestines are not observing water. So if you are not observing, then your body is actually not getting hydrated.
Interesting, very interesting.
So if it is not hydrating, that's why you get the problems of acidity. Then there is this joint and knee problems which all come, right? I mean, this is prevalent in a lot of markets where the water quality is good, but you put too much technology like RO, UV, UF, everything inside the water purifier, which everything in the water gets over. I mean, there is a term called TDS, right? TDS is like total dissolved solids, right? It is like the measure of whatever is there in the water, measure of dissolved solids in water, right? So anything which is around about 50 to 200 is good for drinking. Anything less than 10, right, is actually a solvent. And that's where it is not the right water to drink, right? And also another thing, if you see the other angle, right, the pH, there is something called pH, right? I mean, pH is to determine any liquid, whether it is acidic or whether it is neutral or whether it is base, right? For any human body to drink water, you need to have a neutral pH water. But when you have the TDS going very less, right, it becomes acidic. So you are actually drinking 3 liters of acid solvent into your body when nothing is there in the water. So that's where the whole idea came to us, is should we really over purify the water, right? And that gives us to the point that why do you have to have some special filters which are not needed? Let's kind of remove those filters, right? And that's where we gave exactly what is the right filters to be given to the consumer.
Interesting. That also makes your go-to market that much harder, right? Which also explains why you're in 3 cities right now, right? Because it's not put it on Amazon and sell it to the entire country. It has to be a region by region problem that needs to be solved. You have to go activate regions to make sure it customized to that particular region. Interesting, very interesting. Has that since you've started and now scaled, how has the traditional industry taken to this change, right? I'm sure they're aware that there's something called Ring Prime. They moved to subscription. I did see there are a couple of other subscription players that did come up. But how is the traditional, you know, the ones that have been there for decades, how are they reacting to this? Are they still, you know, focused on manufacturing the dabba and selling that dabba?
Yeah, so see, if you see their perspective, right? I mean, they're become an elephant. I mean, each of these companies are like 2,000 people are coming somewhere to 10,000 people, right? See, what happens in this kind of setup is, it is very difficult to move, right? I mean, you cannot move an elephant, whatever it is doing, right? The second important problem what happens is, again, from the first point, there is a mindset already there in everyone's home, right? See, everyone in the whole employees chain, right? It is about how do I sell, how do I sell, how do I sell? That's the whole, the DNA of the company. So that's where they are, right? The second problem when they want to do anything which we are trying to do, right? See, we are a direct-to-consumer business, right? So we kind of keep the dealers and distributors aside in the whole thing, right? It's a direct-to-consumer. We don't want to give anyone, right? So when they have to do what they want to do, what we are doing, right? What it means that they have to ditch their dealers and distributors. Now, the point is, should I take the risk of my current business to doing something in the future, which I don't know? I really don't know whether it will work out, right? See, I may get some 1,000 crores from my current business. Now, should I put at stake my current business and do something which is innovative? The reason being is, if I ditch my dealer and distributor, right? See, my dealer and distributor is not just selling my water purifiers. They're selling my air purifiers. They're selling my fans. They're selling my vacuum cleaners. They're selling me so many other products, right? Which I have all in the range. Now, should I take the risk of disturbing my dealer and distributor? Because that is 80% of my revenue. So that is their problem. Though they like the thing, they need to be careful when doing the things, right? And that is a big entry to them saying that, should I really do?
This is that classic innovator's dilemma, right? Like, they probably see it. They probably know that this is a market change that's happening, but they just can't make that change internally to completely switch gears. And they can't really run both of these parallelly unless you, you know, build a new brand and build a new team and do all of that. Very interesting. Vijay, now what I want to focus on is, like we were discussing earlier, we've just spoken about, you know, supplying purified water, but there's a larger vision at play. I want you to sort of talk about that vision. The kind of work that you're doing is very inspiring with the government schools, with the Lake Rejuvenation Project. Tell us a little bit about what's the long-term vision and what are you up to?
Right. So again, as I told you, as a part of our treasure hunt, What we realized is, we saw, I was a customer first customer. I did my stuff. Then I saw somewhere relevant of my customers who were the top 30-40% of the market. I provided something. But then came to the point was, what about the other part of the country? What about the other 60% of the people? Right? See, because at least we came from the fundamental thought, right? Water is a fundamental thing. Water is just like air. Whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are anything, there are some things in this world has to be unique to everyone, right? Given the opportunity should be given to everyone. So that is a fundamental thought process we came out saying, that why only rich should get the water purifiers or whatever, right? Why can't the pure poor also have it, right? Because it's a fundamental, right? No one created water, no one destroyed water, right? It's just, it has to be given. The world should be an equal play for everyone, right? You cannot just change the games or rule games, right? That's what was the thought process, because water is the source of life. Water is something like air. I cannot say that I'll not give air to someone and I'll give air to other person, right? And only if people have money, they have air. We cannot do that, right? So with the same thought process, we started thinking that how can we enable people who can't afford the water purifier? Currently, water purifiers is there. It's just some 1 rupee, 2 rupees per liter they are buying, right? But what if people who are not able to afford the water purifiers, right? That's where we thought that we already have like more than 1+ lakhs of people of a customer base, right? Can they come together to support other people who can't afford, right? That's where we started a small campaign, something called Water for All. This campaign was saying that let us give water to people who can't afford water, right? So when in our drink prep subscription, what happens is people recharge the number of liters. But every time what happens is that every month, what it ended up coming to the point that they have more liters. They would not have completed the liters. Like, for example, you have to recharge 250 liters. It would not have been over, right? So now, anyways, that liter is there. Again, you have to recharge, you'll get many liters again, right? So the thought was, why can't you donate your liters, what you have, to the people who don't have water? So that's where the whole school project came in, where we said that we will come and install the water purifier. The current 1 lakh, 2 lakh subscribers where we have, right? You start donating water to the government school. So we acted in a way that instead of providing water purifiers, we started giving water, right? So people can donate whenever they are recharging their 20 liters, 30 liters of water to any government school. So that liters get transferred to the government school and then the people get water, right? So the government schools we've installed free of cost, and all our subscriber base start contributing to the water, right? Because our customers are actually a community we are building. It's a community where we want to make water available to the next generation, right? I mean, hardly 20, 30 years we live, right? But the point is the next generation has to get water, right? So our customers come together to support these government schools, right? That's how the Water for Schools campaign started. We have more than 200 schools. More than 15,000 school kids who are the next generation, right? I mean, They are the next generation. After we go, they are the people who are going to take the country ahead, right? So all the current customers start donating water to the next generation people so that they'll be strong enough. The reason being is 80% of the diseases in India are waterborne diseases, right? So that's what we wanted to tackle, and that's how it is. Now, that is the first angle to it, right? The second angle to it is, see, what is the one of the insights which we got was every year there is 3 meters of groundwater getting depleted. Because we are pulling from borewell, we are pulling all that water, right? The groundwater is going. So now who will take the responsibility of putting back the groundwater? Now, point is, consider a situation where you don't have input water, then what will you do about the purification and everything, right? So that's where the idea came in. If you don't have input water, then how to do it, right? So that's where we started saying that for the next generations, we have to start generating input water. So the way to input water is you need to start conserving water. You need to start making sure the water tables are back to the original situation where when we were kids, right? Whatever the situation was, we have to get the water tables to that, right? So it means that we have to get back the lakes. Basically, they used to say that Bangalore used to have more than 200, 300 lakes. But they are, I think, very down cape to double digits and all, right? So we started saying that, okay, let's put, because lakes are the very good pieces where which will add water to the groundwater. And then if you see the traditional world or something, the ancestors, right? Lakes, they say, again, in Karnataka at least, right? Lakes are interconnected is what they say. When you fill one lake, it automatically starts filling another lake, right? They are somewhere connected in the ground is what people kind of say. I mean, I don't have data for that, but people say that all the lakes of Bangalore and the places are all connected. So we start that, let's add, regenerate the lakes back, right? So that the next generation have some input water, which will be purified and consumed, right? These were the two thought processes because, I mean, we fundamentally believe that water are already the reason where I think states are fighting. Countries are fighting. Now, the point is, if someone doesn't take the action and start doing things, right, then the world will start fighting. As someone told, right, the World War III will happen majorly on water. And that is what we believe that we want to stop that.
That's very inspiring, Vijay. I think that concept, I love the concept of donating the water sort of, to government schools because it is so frictionless. I'm going to be recharging. I can see there's an option. Or whatever is left at the end of the month, I can just donate. That frictionless donation is fantastic. And as you said, if there's no input water, then there's no concept of purification. So both those things are very inspiring. Vijay, one last question before we go. I know you're present right now in Bangalore, Hyderabad, and Delhi. So for the people there, you should obviously be subscribing to Drink Prime. But for the people who are not in these cities, if somebody's out there trying to figure out what water purifier to buy, how should they even evaluate what needs to be bought in, what's the process that somebody needs to go through to get the right water purifier for their home?
Right. So, Sid, first of all, what we wanted to say is we are expanding to multiple cities. So in the next, I would say at least in the next 12 to 15 months, we will be there in the top 10 cities. That's what our growth plans are, where we want to grow aggressively, because now we have nailed down everything, right? It is how much access we can give it to the consumers, right? That's where we are heading to. We will be soon coming to your city. I mean, if you kind of want to wait, also we will be able to solve your problem in the next, at least in the top 10 cities. If you are considering you have a buying decision, maybe stick with your current solution because we are coming soon to kind of help you there, right? So that's being said that, but also let me give you the insights. How do you take a decision, right? So what I would recommend is first thing, start understanding what is your input water quality, right? So it is not just about water purifier. The important insight is the water is also the water which you are using for shower. The water means you are also using that water for utensils. The water means that you are also using it for washing clothes, washing your home. See, water is everywhere. It's not just, don't think about drinking water, right? So what is the first thing is start understanding water in a better way, right? Start understanding that what you are drinking. Start questioning yourself, ki, what is that, what I'm drinking right point of time, right? With that thought process, kind of you will evolve yourself automatically whenever you are there, right? So start understanding the water better. And then for that first attempt is, at least you buy something called a TDS meter. There's something where which you'll be getting in an online where 300 rupees may you will go get it in easily from Amazon, or even you can go to any supermarkets or any electrical stores where you get a TDS meter. You can easily buy it somewhere at 300 bucks, right? So wherever you are, you can just check what is your water. Make sure that you drink the water which is anywhere 50 to 150. I mean, 50 to 150 is the number the TDS meter says that what is the reading. That is the measure, right? Now, when you're buying the water purifier, you kind of keep a small, I'll give you a simple table, right? When you are thinking about, right? Anything, if your input water TDS is less than 500, less than 300 in your home, when you put the meter and when you check if it's less than 300, try to see whether you can buy something, a UV-based water purifier, right? You don't need to have a high technology based RO water purifiers, right? So anything post 500, if you see, it's advisable to kind of buy an RO based water purifier, because the reason why I tell like that is when you consider 500 and all, right? As the water quality is changing seasonally, right? You need to take into that consideration also, right? So that's where anything above 500 is what you need to do. But I advise you to check your water quality every bi-weekly or monthly once, right? Put the check and check, understand, make a map of water, what is the water, right? I mean, what is happening with your water? And then accordingly, if you have subscribed to AMC, reach out to your service provider and say that the water has changed, right? The input water has changed, the output water has changed. Please help me and come and do the service, right? Because in the AMC, they should cover you. That is the point of AMC, right? I mean, you are paying 5,000 rupees or 6,000 rupees, getting an assurance that whatever happens, I'll come to you, right? Start calling them, start asking them, saying that this water quality has changed, please come and do something about it, right? Because that's where you have paid and you have every right to ask the AMC supplier, right? I mean, that's where you should start understanding. When you understand water only, you can do all those things. So that is the right way to maintain a water purifier before we are there. Till then, you can manage with that. We will come and replace your existing water purifiers and make sure that we remove your headaches out of.
Vijay, thank you so much for taking the time out and being so candid throughout the entire discussion about how you disrupted this, you know, legacy industry that probably hasn't changed in any way in the last 20, 30 years. There, as you said, there has been product innovation, but how this was being sold, how was this was being taken to market, the way you disrupted that is very inspiring. You've told me to not disclose the number, but I've kept a track on how you guys have grown over the last few years. It's phenomenal. The fact that you're EBITDA positive, you've built the company in the right way, funded by, you know, tier one investors across the globe. All those, you know, sleepless nights and those journeys of should we continue building this or not has come to fruition. So really, you know, really inspirational. And thank you so much for taking the time out.
Thank you so much, Sid, for having me. It was a pleasure having a proper discussion. Thank you so much.